The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, but consider the things of old, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me and jackals, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third, and this one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're getting closer, ladies and gentlemen. We are getting closer to Good Friday, to the death of our Lord and, of course, his resurrection 3 days later. But the shadow of the crucifixion looms large over our gospel reading today. the scribes and the chief priests at the end of our reading, they're ready to lay their hands on Jesus right then and there. But fearing the crowds, the people, they begin to look for something incriminating, spying on him, trying to catch him up so that they can deliver Jesus over to the governor for punishment. Verse 19 of our gospel reading. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour. For why? They perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. The scribes and the chief priests were exactly right. It's embarrassing how obvious it is that it was, and it was, that Jesus was telling this parable about them. They would have recognized, they would have known that it is a direct parallel with Isaiah 5, for example, where Yahweh says, "My beloved had a vineyard," there's the vineyard language, "on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones. He planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it. He hewed out a wine vat in it. He's done all of these things for this vineyard. And he looked for it to yield grapes, to bear fruit. But it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The vineyard is Israel. And the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry." Time and time again, the house of Israel, the vineyard, rejected the servants that the Lord sent to it. These are the prophets of the Old Testament. The Lord sent them prophet after prophet in order to go to them to preach the word of God and to collect a harvest or the fruit that should be produced. But behold, only wild grapes. And the Lord's servants were treated shamefully. They were beaten, wounded, sent away empty-handed, or fruitless, you could say. Of course, as we're following along in our parable reading for today, Jesus is the heir, the son, that the owner sends to them. Maybe they'll respect him. The very Son of God is standing there before the scribes and the chief priests, and they are planning to throw him out, treat him shamefully, and kill him. So let's not overlook the fact that what we're talking about is God's vineyard. Whose vineyard is it? It is God's vineyard. God is the owner. It is his kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And it's only by God's grace that the tenants are even put into this vineyard. The tenants in our parable, the Israelites, were given much. He did all these things to make it a fertile, fruit-producing vineyard. He said all these things. They were given so much. They were chosen by God. God placed them in the vineyard to be good stewards of all of these blessings, to work the ground, to care for the plants, to dress the vines. Why? So that fruit would be produced. So what is the fruit? What is the fruit that God is looking for in his vineyard? Simply put, the fruit is faith and love. Faith and love. First and foremost, faith. And this is, of course, complete trust and dependence upon God for all things of both body and soul. Salvation, daily bread, all of it. Complete, utter dependence and trust in God. And then, naturally, from that heart of faith comes a heart of love. Comes love. Love follows God. It follows God's law and his commandments. Not in order to be saved, but because it is saved. It's a love that is enlivened by the gospel. A love that loves because, of course, God first loves us. It is a love that flows from a renewed heart. It despairs, as Paul says in the epistle reading. It despairs of its own righteousness, but clings to Christ's righteousness only. A love that rejoices, as we heard last week, when even one sinner repents and comes to faith in Jesus Christ. One. It is a love that cares and loves others. It's less focused on the self. It puts aside jealousy and resentment. And it is genuinely happy for the other, for the dear brother or sister in Christ. It is a regenerate, loving heart that willingly builds others up upon the foundation, the cornerstone of Christ crucified and risen for sinners. This is the fruit the Lord is looking for. But remember, it is the Lord's vineyard. Therefore, whose fruit is it? He owns it. It is the Lord's fruit. Not theirs, not ours. It is God's fruit. It is the fruit that is sustained and nurtured by the gospel, by the word of Christ, and by receiving his sacraments. Just as Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It is the Lord's fruit as well. But that's not how the wicked tenants in the parable viewed it. In their self-righteous unbelief, they forgot that salvation belongs to the Lord. And the very fact that they are in the vineyard is by God's grace alone. They figured, hey, I'm in the vineyard. I have all of this. I have all the promises of God because they belong to me. Because I am a member of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's like somehow I have earned it by being born at the right time to the right family. And they wanted all of these blessings. They wanted all of God's blessings to be in the vineyard. They wanted all the gifts, all the fruits that come from the vineyard without God. God can just stay out of it. I suppose it's kind of like wanting to live in a place that, by God's grace, others, previous generations, have worked so hard to build up upon the foundation of Christ, using Christ as the cornerstone, their foundation. A culture built on Christian virtues. Things like strong families with fathers and mothers and children who fear God, and love one another. Families that take their responsibilities within the family seriously. Things like impartial justice that rewards good and punishes evil, Christian virtue. Things like individual responsibility and hard work and honor and justice, but also love and patience and gratitude and forgiveness. It's like wanting to reap all of the fruits of Christianity, all of the benefits that come from Christ and his community and society, but kicking him out of it. It doesn't work that way, does it? It's obvious, embarrassing how obvious that is, that this doesn't work. Yet people keep trying it. They recklessly want to pluck the fruit of Christianity without the Christianity. It's unsustainable. It doesn't work that way. Jesus says the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. In the end, everything that Jesus predicts is going to happen in this parable happened. The scribes and the chief priests rejected the Son. They rejected Christ. They threw him out and they killed him. The Son of God. The Son of God sacrifices himself for the sake of and at the hands of these wicked tenants. And what did the owner of the vineyard do with them? Just as Jesus asked, what should he do? He did just as Jesus said. He came and he destroyed those tenants and gave the vineyard to others. Again, this is not the owner's fault. He did so much for the people of Israel. He loves the people of Israel, including these wicked scribes and chief priests. He did so much. He even sent to them his only beloved son, knowing full well that they would reject him and kill him. He sent him anyway. Sadly, the scribes and the chief priests rejected the Son and therefore rejected God's salvation. Yet, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The death of the Son of God has ushered in the new. Because he was rejected, we are welcomed in. So who are the tenants in the vineyard now? Who has the owner given the vineyard to? Well, the good news now has gone out to all, to Jew and Gentile alike. It has gone out to the world. The new tenants in the vineyard are you and me and every other believer in Jesus Christ. It is Christ's church that is the true Israel. God's chosen people. We are the new building built upon Christ, the cornerstone. God has called you, and he has placed you into his vineyard. The Lord has blessed you in this vineyard far beyond you can imagine. He has given you, as Paul says, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, your Lord. He has made you his own in the water of baptism, washing away all of your sins, giving you the very righteousness from God that depends on faith. He has given you his word, teaching you, guiding you, encouraging you, forgiving you, and strengthening you as he imparts his word upon you in faith, creating faith in your heart and love for one another. You have it all. You really do. You have it all. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and he has given it to you. You have it, for you have Jesus. He has placed you in the kingdom, yes, to enjoy all of the fruits, enjoy all of the benefits, enjoy being part of the kingdom, but to use them wisely. So we learn from this parable this morning, what God speaks to us this morning, we learn that just like the house of Israel in the Old Testament, it is only by God's grace that we are in the vineyard. It's not because of anything that we've done or born at the right time, right family, any of that. It's not because we're so great. It is only by God's grace that he has brought us in. Unlike the scribes and the chief priests, it would be wise for us to not take that for granted. Remember, it's his vineyard. So there's no kicking God out of his own vineyard. That's silly. And the Lord does expect his vineyard to produce fruit, faith, and love. He expects us, the tenants, to work in his kingdom, in the vineyard. Not just sit back and bask in the glory of what other people, previous generations, have built, but to continue building upon Christ as the foundation. So in the vineyard that the Lord has graciously brought us into, we should be on guard. We should be on guard against our faith or our love growing cold, as it did with the previous tenants. And we should take care not to abandon the love that we had for one another at first, lest, as St. Paul warns in Romans 11, for if God did not spare the natural branches, the Jews, neither will he spare you. Note then that the kindness and the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. So together, by God's grace in the vineyard, we work in the vineyard, and we work for the sake of others, out of love for one another, pointing all people to Christ crucified and risen, building one another up in faith and love, not man's ideas about what love is, but God's. And we trust. We trust that the Holy Spirit can and will use this fruit to build others up upon the solid foundation of Christ the cornerstone, their cornerstone and our cornerstone. And you'll find that the owner of this vineyard is far more gracious and loving and encouraging and forgiving than you can ever imagine. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.